Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the Roundtable. I apologize for the little delay there. I did not hear the introduction, so I'm just going to see if we can do that again. If it's playing, I'm not sure. It looks as if it's playing. Did you hear the introduction? Someone text me and let me know. Let's see if I can do it again just to make sure.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Great day it is. Saturday morning, and it is November the 9th. I'm telling you, I'm just like, can you believe it? Christmas next weekend. You're thinking, Christmas next weekend, Dr. Bessie. Yeah, I said it. Christmas next weekend. That's how fast the time will seem. It's like a blink of an eye. We'll be in the holiday season. Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the Roundtable, and I hope that you are sitting at the table, ready for an exciting conversation today. But before we get started, just want to say thank you, Father, for a wonderful day. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on your behalf. Father God, this morning I ask that you bless every mother and daughter around the world, and that those blessings just filtrate through the family, and touching the hearts and minds of the fathers and the sons. Father God, your creation, I believe in my heart, was to create healthy, loving, trusting families. You want to see us in joy and peace and running around in the Garden of Eden having fun and then just praising you and thanking you for giving us such a wonderful place to live, such great life and strength and health. And even though sometimes, Father, we don't experience that in the physical, we know that it is the reality. That is your wish for us above all things. I wish that you prosper and have health, and even as your soul prospers. You know, when you say those words, Father God, we know that they are true. So we know that prosperity is ours. We know that good health is ours. And we know as our soul prospers, we shall prosper here on this earth as you would have it in heaven. So, Father God, we thank you. We just ask you for the wisdom and the understanding to help us journey here, the spiritual warfare, knowing that we already have the victory. We thank you this morning, and we love you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. And along with that, Lord knows we want to thank him for wisdom, because without wisdom and understanding and grace and mercy, where would we be? You know, a lot of things happen and we don't realize the protection that we have. Really, we don't. And I was riding along yesterday and I was coming from a client and it was dark and it was raining and nasty. I couldn't hardly see. I was all over the road and finally I was driving real slow. And just as the traffic picked up some, I was driving, and all of a sudden, this car was right in front of me. I'm telling you, was nothing but an angel that just, when I hit my the brakes, I'm telling you, it locked up. And when it locked up, because with my car, the brakes, if it gets wet, it tends to lock. And it locked, and the car turned to the right, to the left, heading toward the inside of the bridge, and it just straightened up. And before I know it, I was right behind the car. I would say arm length from the tail of another car. And the car was just sitting there, and I went, oh, my God, thank you. I said, Father, I know that you're taking care of me. There was nothing but angels that blocked that car. So I'm saying all that to say this, even when we don't realize he's working for us, he's working for us, you know, because that was an accident that I was saved from. And I just thank God this morning for that. And when I see something like that, sometimes I'm riding along the road, and I'm not saying it's just me. I know he loves Bessie, but he loves you too. You know, that's the thing you can say. Everybody can say it proudly. He loves me, whatever your name is. Because how many times have you seen yourself saved at a moment, you know, like I'm driving along and a car is coming into me and all of a sudden it just whew, back over to the side. Those are the times we need to stop and say, you know what, thank you, God. That was an angel. That's the angel of protection to keep me safe. So I just wanted to acknowledge that this morning and say thank you, God. I was like, wow. You'd have to be there. It's one of those kind of things that you can say it and no one would get it unless you've been there. You know how you're telling a story and tell people and they're looking at you and you say, well, you have to be there to see it in order to appreciate it. And that's one of those kind of things. But I was there. God was there, Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit was there, and the angels was there, and I was protected. So I thank God this morning. Get on the phones and call your friends or text them. You know, if you're on the phone, text them. If you're on the internet, call them. And ask them to get on the line with us this morning. They can call in at 347-39-5078 to listen to the show on the phone. They're moving around. Anytime that you want to joining on the conversation, you can click 1, and we'll be glad to hear your comments. We'll try to get you on. I know sometimes now individuals are saying to me that we're trying to get on, and, you know, I tried to get on, I couldn't get on. Well, when you're calling in, it only will receive so many online callers. But you can get on the internet at Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com. And go to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, and you can listen via the internet. So we do have a lot of callers, and it's the first come, first basis. And if you try to get on and you can't get on, that's why. And I was trying to explain that last week. And the person's like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. That's why I asked my co-host to get on early, because I don't want you to be locked out. All right, our stimulating topic this morning is the mother-daughter call. Please forgive me. You heard me, the call. Please forgive me. That's all it takes, just 3 words. And we're going to talk about that today. So you might want to let them know this is what we're talking about. If you know a mother and daughter that's not speaking, that's not communicating, that has an ought against one or the other, and that goes as far as friends, sisters, coworkers, you know, daughter-in-laws, mother-in-laws, and sister-in-laws, you know, we all are daughters. And that's what I want you to understand. Every woman is a daughter. Every woman is affected by her mother and daughter relationship. When you look at your mother and daughter relationship, you can see some of those things manifesting in your life, in your words and your actions, especially if you're a woman in her 40s or mid-50s, from 45 to 55. That's when you really start seeing strong traits of your mother or the person that had the most influence in your life, your grandmother, whomever was the one that planted the seeds at an early age. You'll start seeing those seeds manifesting between the age of 45 and 55 very strongly. And beyond that, you just actually just turn into whoever she was. You know? I tell you, it just happens. Okay, I have an announcement this morning. We have a program next week that's going on. It's the Honors Forum. The Honors Forum is a unique opportunity. It's a God-given honoring grassroots women that are out there working in the communities, helping mothers and daughters, mothers and their children, I should say, in the communities. And they're the ones that, you know, no one really recognized that they're there. And God just placed on my heart to honor them. So we created the Honors Luncheon. The first Friday of every month, we honor five grassroots leaders and their organizations, and we pamper them and give them the word that God has sent down. Now we are entering to our first Honors Forum, and it's going to be held at Florida Technical College, and that's at 12520 Pine Boulevard in Pentonbrooks Pine, Florida, 33027. It's 12520 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines, Florida. And you can't miss it. It's on the corner of Pines and Flamingo. It's going to start at 9, from 9 a.m. to 9:45. It's registration and continental breakfast. And from 10 to 12:30, there will be a forum. I'll be talking about mother and daughter relationships. We have a young lady, Jackie, is going to be talking about suicide prevention. And then we have Maggie that's going to be talking about domestic violence along with Lorna and her daughter. And then we have Cynthia Oliver that's going to be heading up substance abuse. And let's see who else. I'm kind of reading as we go here because Tasha is going, and her mother is going to be talking about HPVs. It's going to be an interesting forum. The forum, we have the tickets. The tickets are free, and we ask that you give a donation when you come. They will fill up because each participant has so many tickets to give out, and it will only hold 200, and you're talking about each participant giving out about 10 or 15 tickets, so it's going to fill up. So if you need to get a ticket, you need to come to the forum, bring your daughter, bring your friends. You can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. It's going to be a fun day. We're only going to keep you to 12:30. It's not one of those things where we say 12:30 and it's 2 o'clock. It's not happening because the school closed at 1, so we got to get out of there. It's very tight. It's scheduling. And most importantly, the honorees for the October honoring forums and the luncheon will be given their awards at this particular event. Okay? So come out. We have vendors out there. You'll be able to look at. We only have three vendors, so you don't have a lot of people to shop with, but you will have an opportunity to help. Thank you very much. Honors Forum. That's November the 16th from 9 to 12:30. You don't want to miss that. On the 17th, we'll be cruising out, going to Kurtz and Caicos and the Bahamas and Jamaica. I don't know if there's availability, but I'm just telling you that we are leaving on November the 17th, and I'm looking forward to that. A whole week, no phones, no communication, just lay back on the ocean and enjoy. But if you think you want to go, call Gina, see if availabilities are there, 680007, 813-868-0007. All right, that's much as I can say. Next week we're going to be going. That Sunday we'll be leaving. Now, I want to say this. We're going to try next Saturday to have the show. I'm going to book the show for 2 hours so that you can at least get in on the forum from 10 to 12:30. And so I will I'm trying to think. Yeah, 2 hours. We can do 2 hours. You won't be able to get the last 30 minutes, I don't think, but I can book a two-hour show. So next Saturday, you'll be listening to the program, and I'll be kind of in and out of it as it goes on. I'm going to try to set it, so bear with us, and we'll see what happens. I'm trying something new. All right, our stimulating topic this morning is a mother co-host this morning, Sandra D. Is not with us, but Cynthia Oliver and Janice Paldo. I don't know. I am not on the switchboard, so I'm assuming that they are there. If not, you are, and I am, and we're going to do this. For all the newcomers that are coming on, I want you to know that this program is based, this Mother and Daughter Roundtables, and it's based on a platform from Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. I didn't say that. God said it. So we know that is true. And most of us already know that in our heart. We've seen it. I've been doing this since 1999, and, you know, I knew it in my heart, and God placed it in my heart, and I was working from that. But then all of a sudden, about 2 or 3 months ago, he just said, do you want to know what I think about mothers and daughters? And, you know, I never asked a question. I just listened to what he told me, and I kept going, and I thought, yes. Thinking, why wouldn't I want to know? And he said this. I never knew this was in the Bible. Of course, I tell people all the time, I'm not one of these people that are Bible scholars. You know, some people think they know the Bible. No one really knows the Bible because it changes. That's how smart God is. Just when you think you know it, you don't really. So I'm the type that will say, no, I don't know. I don't quote a lot of scriptures. I'd rather go look it up, because once you add your word to it, then you got a problem. It's not what God said. It's what you said added to what God says, and that makes it null and void. He said, my word will not go void, not my word mixed with yours. So we have to be very careful when we start quoting things and acting as if we know so much, because the mind is something, as my ex-father-in-law said, you know, mind is a terrible thing to waste, and you don't want to do that. So pull the Bible out, read it, quote it, get it in your heart. And, of course, God said he would write it. But his words are, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Ezekiel 16:44, go read it for yourself. And I'm reading it strictly from what I've written. So last week we talked about the mental prison within a mother and daughter relationship. Now, the mental prison, that's deep, because that's a prison that you create. That's a prison that you decided on. You use your words, build those words into a mental prison. Think about it. Words are like building blocks. You keep saying it, you keep building, and all of a sudden, you have created a structure in your mind. And then all of a sudden, you built yourself into the corner, and you can't get out. And you don't know what to do, where to go. How do I get out of here? How in the world did I just start building and closed it in, and now it's like a cement block? The cement is dried. You have no instruments to help you. And just imagine in your mind, those words are like blocks. And now you've enclosed your mind, and you can't get out. You can get out. Use God's word. Because all things are possible to those who believe. So change your words. Say something different. Instead of saying, I can't, say it can. Instead of saying, it won't happen, say it will. If you notice in the Bible, God says what? It will. It shall. He used words that didn't bring about a doubt in whatever he was saying. If you believe, it shall. It will. That's a complete statement within itself. Shall. Will. change your words, listen to what God is saying, use his words, and all of a sudden, door will form. And the blocks will be removed, and you'll see the light. You will see light shining on you, and you'll hear a voice saying, come out. Come out. It's just that. So what I'm saying to you today, that mental prison that you have, we talked a little bit about it last week. You're in control of it. You can come out whenever you want. And if you don't want to, you can just stay right in there and enjoy whatever life you decide that you want to enjoy. There's nothing that I or anyone else on this radio program, even God himself cannot make you come out. He will not make you do anything. That's how much power that you have. He said, I give you power and authority in my name. This is what Jesus is saying. You know how much power that is? If we only believe that and started using that, you would come out of that mental prison and you would know that anything you want is going to happen. Now, the test is going to be there. We're going to be tested. And the reason you're going to be tested, because what? Satan do not want you to succeed. Get that. Two forces going on here. And it is not about, you know, some people say, oh, I don't believe in the devil. And I used to say that. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to say that. I don't believe in the devil. And I thought if I said that, he would not exist. But that's exactly what he wants you to say. Because if you're going to be ignorant and say, and I'm talking to myself, you know, and say there's no devil, there's no Satan, when it clearly states in the Bible that it is, he wants you to believe that he doesn't exist. Or he wants you to believe that something is real that it really isn't. If it's not what God says, it's not real. It's an illusion. And he will paint you a pretty picture. And he will whisper in your ears that, oh, just leave her alone. She's hopeless. You know, your mother, you never really had a relationship with her anyway. Why even try now? I mean, you know, just go on with your life. Let her have her life. I had a young girl say to me, I don't need my mother. I don't need her. She's over there. I'm over here. She doesn't exist to me. And I'm telling you, as I was hearing those words, my heart was just kind of still because I really didn't know what to say to her. And she was so adamant about it. It was like, and I was praying, Lord, what do I say? She said, she doesn't exist to me. I don't need her. If she dies tomorrow, I wouldn't miss her. Because my father could just hire another person to drive me around, hire another person to take care of his business, the house, she's non-existent. And wow. What do you do, Bessie, or what do you say? And I said to her, I understand what you're saying. And I know you think at this moment that if your mother died today, you will not miss her. And I can't explain to you what that would feel like. But I can pretty much guarantee you, when that casket closed, you don't need her. And you think you don't have to speak to her. I'm talking about 15 years old. She's non-existent to me. Her job is to carry me where I need to go. when I get my car, then we will have no connections whatsoever. But when you hear that story, I know your hearts are with me. All the mothers that are out there, the daughters that love their mothers and connected. And then there's a lot of you out there that's saying, hey, I understand. I'm with her. I'm in the same position. I don't need my mother. She don't mean nothing to me. But I said to her, something happened. Something happened, and we need to figure out what it is. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God, and I want you to pray and talk to God. Because we need to get back to what happened. I can't go into a lot of detail on the outline of it, because it's placed on my heart to share this. There's someone out there obviously need to hear it. Be careful how you treat your children when they're small. Be careful what you say, the treatment, because once that child, her heart at an early age, and she feels that you don't like her, and she says, okay, I'm going to harden my heart because I don't have to like you either. At a very small age of 4 and 5, and when she's 15 or 16 or 22 and 32 and 40, and you think, oh, all of a sudden now you want to have a relationship, and you want it just because you say so, it doesn't happen just like that. There have to be a process. And the process takes some time. But it's just not you, mother or daughter, whomever is seeking forgiveness. It's just not going to be on your time. Because the two have to come together. So I'm saying all of that to say, that's what we're talking about today. A mother and daughter call for forgiveness. You've been in a prison. You mistreated your daughter. And I always speak from the mother perspective. So for newcomers out there, when you hear me say mother, because I know some of you are screaming, I can feel it in my spirit. Well, what about me? I'm the daughter. You know, you're talking about her. What about me? The reason I speak from the mother's perspective, because whatever happens to a small child depends on the mother from the time of conception. So as I told that young girl, I said, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. And many of you have heard this story before, so I won't prolong it. But then you have to keep in mind that we have new people on here all the time. There was a young girl that was 12 years old, and she said her mother didn't like her. And the mother denied it, denied it, denied it. I'm going to make the story short. And then, finally, couldn't take it anymore. The mother said, she's right. No, I don't like her. I never liked her. And I prayed and asked God for 9 months not to give me a daughter. And he gave me a daughter. And when the doctor laid the baby on my belly, I looked at her and she looked at me, and I knew it was going to be war. Now, what is that to say for a baby that you've carried 9 months and that baby is looking on your belly? This is what she said. So that let me know she did not receive that child in her arms, because the doctor always put the baby in your arms. It's next to your heart. You don't put it on the right side. Keep in mind, the baby always is left. They put the child in your arm on the left side where your heart is, so that the rhythm of the baby's heart and your heart probably don't even know that. That's why the baby is placed in your left arm. That's that first physical bond. Second bond, the first physical, but the first mental is when that baby's in your belly, in the womb. So now you're talking about 9 months. What are you saying? All you pregnant mothers out there, what are you saying? What are you doing? What are you eating? What evil thoughts do you have on your mind? You know, all of that makes up the personality and the spirit of that baby when it enters into the world. So be careful with what you do, because you are preparing that child to enter into a world. Make sure that that child has a peaceful mind before entering into this world, because then you have the opportunity to use your words to lay a foundation. Don't build a prison for your child with your words. Don't close their minds in a box that they can't get out of, because every child believes that their mother is the expert, that their mother is it. I don't care. You see those big boys out there playing football, they're going to say, hey, mom, po dad, you know, I don't know what they think. They're just, it's always mom, because you're the nurturer. You have the opportunity to input the right words, the words of God, into that child to create a godly child. But to hear someone say, and I mean with no emotions. So I'm asking all you mothers of prayer to pray with me this week. Because I know she wants to love her mother. To pray that God will give us the answer, the wisdom to figure out what it is or what happened, so that that love can enter into her heart, okay? And that brings us to our topic for this week, and that topic is a mother-daughter call. Mothers, I know sometimes you think that you're the mother and whatever you say is right, and if you say it, just do it. Don't question it. Some mothers are like that. I'm not saying all of you. And have the audacity to say, because I said so, without any explanation. Yeah, you're the mother. To realize you're training a child. You can't expect the child to know. You have not taught her certain principles. She's not going to know. But I can tell you one thing. In her mind, she's watching you through her eyes, registering in her mind your behavior, your contradictions, the way that you treat people, and then the way you talk about them later, or the things that you say to someone else, your girlfriend, thinking that your child, she's only 4 years old, so she's back there playing with her toys, so she's not listening. She's listening, and you're building a prison for her mind, because she hears how you talk to people, and she talks to them the same way, and then you wonder why she's acting that way. I had a mother that was a professional. When I say, you know, when I said professional, I'll just leave it like that. So you talk to people a certain way. And then when she heard a little girl talking to him that way, she said, why are you talking to people like that? Well, mommy, that's what you do. That's what you say. That's how you talk to Miss So-and-so. See, that goes to show you, that's why I said we're not perfect mothers. Because Lord knows I used to have a mouth on me. Thank God my daughter, I mean, she was a different personality. She even got on me. But thank God for Jesus that I don't do it the way I used to do it. So we all got to grow and learn. I'm not telling you something that, you know, making you think that I'm perfect, I'm the perfect mother. No, I work on it. I work on it. Because like I told someone this week, you don't want Bessie Mae to come out. She's not really a person that you want to, you know, I even hate to say the name, because when I think of some of the words that have come out of my mouth, you know, so it takes Jesus. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. Renew your mind. Now, the same way you ask Jesus to forgive you, you do the same thing with your daughter or your mother. Don't just keep going day after day after day after day looking for something to happen without you doing something to initiate it. It's not going to happen. If you don't go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, he's not going to make you do that. He wants you to want him. And you can love Jesus, someone you don't see, but you can't love your mother, your daughter, who God has placed in front of you, a physical being housing a spirit. And you can't love the person that you can physically see, and you can actually see the damage that you've done to this person, but yet you say you love Jesus? Come on. Come on, this is a wake-up call. All of this year has been a wake-up call message. The messages have been waking you up to the reality. So if you can ask God to forgive you, you can ask your daughter to forgive you, you can ask your mother to forgive you. Keep in mind, this is a spiritual warfare. Satan is after your mind. He's not trying to get to your body. You may think, oh, but so-and-so had cancer and they died. No, 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 no. The mind had cancer. Because whatever you set on your mind, your body will follow according to what you think and what you say. So he's going to talk to you in your mind. And if you sit and listen and don't even dare try to have a conversation with him, because he's going to win every time. That's what he wants you to do. He wants to tell you your daughter don't love you. He wants to tell you your mother doesn't love you. He wants to tell you all the things to keep the two of you apart. Because if the two of you come together, the power of influence of a mother and daughter in a family is going to grow strong generations. And his job is to stop that. And he knows exactly how to do it. And you're just helping him work against God. You think about that. If you and your mother and your daughter is not speaking and you are not creating healthy families for the next generation, you are working against God. God said you can't be lukewarm. Spew you out of his mouth. You got to be hot or cold. You got to be one or the other. Either you're for God or you're not. He didn't give you a daughter for you to have to work against him. He gave you a daughter to help replenish the earth, replenish the earth, to work in the kingdom. There's a reason for this. So you think about it. Who are you working for? Stop playing. Who are you working for? You have to decide. You can't do both. It's either or. And you may say, well, you know, Dr. Fletcher, my daughter won't speak to me and my mother won't speak to me. Oh, but you still got power. It's not about physical being the all to it. It's a spiritual warfare. You can pray. You can send love. You can send forgiveness to that person, to your mother, your daughter, every day. I love you. You only, you know, send it. Your spirit, hey, spirit, go to it, tell I love. There's no distance in the spirit. Don't work in the physical. Because if you work in the physical, go time, because Satan's going to try to beat you there. Work in the mental. Work in the spiritual. Work in love. Work in forgiveness. Send your spirit to say, I forgive you. Please forgive me. I love you. See yourself having a relationship with your daughter and your mother the way that you want it to be. Play like a little child. He said, unless you are like a little child, you should not enter into the kingdom. So what does that mean? A child will forgive very quickly her little friend, and they go right back to playing together. We as an adult, we allow Satan to come in and tell us all kinds of things, and we lose our childlike mind. So therefore, we are grown now. No, go back to the childlike mind. Be a little child. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to play again. Play with your daughter. Play with your mother. We're all children of God. We're here in a place. we can create it to be whatever we want it to be. If you feel that you're living in a hellish situation, change that. Move to the other side of Eden. Move to the place where there's peace and there's joy and there's happiness. Move to the place where when you think about your mother or daughter, a smile come on your face and a smile come in your heart. Move to that residence. Try that. You have the power to move when you want to. So change your words, match your words with God's word, believe in your heart, and it shall happen. The one piece of advice I want to give you before I leave, be patient. Don't let the enemy tell you, oh, it didn't happen. You've been waiting for a week now. Nothing, you don't feel anything change. No, once you decide, you stand on it. Don't entertain doubt. No, I've decided that my daughter and I are going to have this type of relationship, and no devil in hell are going to stop that. Because once you decide and you decree a thing here on earth, God said it is decreed in heaven. It is a sealed deal. Now, the only thing that can change that is that you change your words and you use the but. Well, I don't know. Okay, you got to start all over again. Don't change. Use God's words and remember that your words create your thoughts, which create your vision, which create your reality. And your words should be the words of God. There's no other word. They're all one. Have a great week. I'm open up the internet. Let's see who's here. All right. Anybody want to speak, please? Click one. Let's see what we have here. Good morning. Make sure I'm getting. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
Just great, I think. And this is a very, very, well, this topic's very close to my heart. Really great. Thank you
for
doing
it. Who am I speaking to this morning?
I'm just going to be anonymous at this point. That's okay?
Okay. That's fine. Well, so what are your thoughts on the closest point?
I was taking notes, I was writing while you were talking, because this is a really serious topic for me. And at the point where you said, you started to explain why it was that perhaps you speak from the mother's perspective, as soon as you said that out loud here, I said to myself, okay, let me be the voice of the daughter for several reasons. But I wanted to, so here's why this is so close to my heart. My mother tried to kill me. I was 57.
Oh.
I was 57 when it happened, and I had had years of good therapy by then on my own, meaning that I had chosen the therapist after a health crisis and after I had gone into a sort of intensive day program for people with eating disorders. I had worked on myself for years. I had good insurance for the first time in my life because I had been a nanny by then for someone who gave health insurance that you also had a stipend for really good holistic preventive, health care. And that was my first time using health care. But I had worked all my life and stayed far away from her. So I'm mentioning this because I want the listeners and you to know that, when this happens, it's not like I have not talked to someone about all the years of abuse when I was a child. I loved what you said about, if you're a mother and you have a four-year-old in the other room, don't make assumptions about that she's not listening, that she doesn't understand what it is you're saying. Because I had a lot of conscious memories of the abuse. And so I had already worked on this. I had already, I thought, taken a look at the kinds of things that my mother did, whether she was right or wrong or not. These are very painful things to look at because, think of it, if your mother doesn't love you, what does that say about your love ability? you know?
Uh-huh.
If you're even
yeah.
your mother doesn't. So every time, if you're looking at, say, your own abuse in a private room with a supportive therapist, and you're taking out, you know, the big examples in your own life where your mother said to you, not with just words, but in the things that she did as well, I don't love you. I don't care. I'm more important than you. Hey, you know, if a choice comes down here and it's me or you, this is the mother talking, I'm going to save me. Throw the baby out. This is difficult to look at. So I want the listener to know that I had done this. I had completed and gone to a bachelor's degree program and a master's degree program using loan money on my own when I was older. So I had sort of made progress, I thought. But on the day when she tried to kill me, which was run me over with her car, you know, there was a lot else going on too, meaning there were other ways that she was saying, I want you dead because I want to protect myself. Now, you also got to understand this. If you were to see my mother walking along the street, you would never believe this. You would never believe that she was capable of this. And I'm telling you, even after all those years of therapy, as this happened, I couldn't believe it. This rocked my world like you can't believe. In fact, I started a radio show here on Blog Talk because of it, called The Orange Jumpsuit Show with Regular Girl, because we've got the wrong people in the orange jumpsuits. Meaning, I had also worked in the counseling field when I was younger, and what I began to see was how many of these young men, because I had worked as a contract worker for the military, how many of these young men had been abused. And I kept seeing this, and it didn't continue with that profession. But if I'm a singer, and then I went on. But I still kept noticing that, you know, we have all these programs, but they're for the victims. You know, and if you take someone who's 19 years old. They've gotten caught now. It's the first time they're getting caught using illegal substances, okay? Now they've had this horrific, horrific history of child abuse. They've never had therapy. And I don't care what kind of good counselor they have or program afterwards, if they have to, by what's mandated in a court, show up at a program every day, the message is that they're getting punished. The victim is getting punished.
Right.
The mothers are still alive because we have extended life now. This is what I said to myself, and this is why I started that show. Now, here's what I, and you can see I'm a long talker, so it's probably good I have my own radio show. I thought of asking you if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Because
I would love to.
That's wonderful, because I have had such a difficult time finding people who will talk about it from the very real perspective, which is that there really are some bad mothers. There have to be. There have to be.
Of course.
You know,
I've been doing this since 1999, and I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I'm also an ordained minister. God has called me and laired me for this mission, and my mission is to save the mother and daughter relationship, is to help mend those broken hearts. And I will tell a daughter, like I told that 15-year-old, no. And I'm saying this because there's some history, and she knows what I'm talking about, but I don't want to get into a lot of it. Every mother's not right. You know, but once a mother come and bring her daughter, that means, you know, hey, I know I wasn't right. And the mother admit, I wasn't right. I, you know, hate to think of the things that I've done. Well, you know, that's the first sign of the healing, but you got to give the other person time to come on board, because they're afraid that, you know, maybe you're just saying that now, but you really don't mean it. Should I let my guards down? You know that's what it is, because I don't want to be hurt again, those type of things. I would love to work with you one-on-one to share some of the things and hear what I just believe that God has sent you for a reason. Let me say it that way. And
I feel the same way about you. I feel the same way about this. Yes.
I believe. And I only deal with people that God sent. God will send the people. I don't do advertisement, any of that. And my calendar is just getting so full because God will send the people. So I'm going to give you my email address, and I want you to email me your phone number, and I'll send you mine, and then you can we can talk from there. And it's Dr. Bessie 1. It's
Dr. Bessie?
Uh-huh, 1 at gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1, at gmail.com. Because
I do have this sense, and I haven't met anybody, and I've been doing this for a year, you know, really sort of, I call into a lot of radio shows. This is, you're the first one that I get the sense that we could together do some real good.
All right.
In light of what it is that you want to do, because, like I said, I've done a lot of work on myself. It's not that I want to punish her, because I know that punishment doesn't really work. Never mind, it's dysfunctional and it perpetuates this cycle of evil, and we know where that comes from, and I'm not interested in it. You know, but nonetheless, we still need to clarify some things and talk about some things. You know that for the only people, I ended up in the hospital as a result of this trauma, which is a whole other story, but that's where I met the first group of people. And now this next statement that I'm going to make is not necessarily racist. When I say black women, I'm talking about a culture. I'm a white woman who, for whatever reason, I lived in Hawaii. It wasn't around me. The only reason that culture came into my life was because of jazz. But these were the first people, were women who were black women, who didn't tell me to, shut me down. And the first woman was laying next to me in a hospital bed, and here's what she said to me. She was about 20 years older than me, and she said, my mother told me when I was born, she told me my whole life, she said, you were the ugliest baby I ever saw. This is what she said to me. And I knew she was telling the truth. And I thought to myself, my God, she understands. Because that's the first thing she said to me when I told her a little bit about what had happened to me with my mother. She didn't say shut up. She didn't say forgive her. She said, you know what my mother said to me? And she said to me all my life, she said, you are the ugliest baby I ever saw. And she started laughing. And I thought to myself, my God, she understands. So I think that what I heard from you is this, you offer a good perspective from a mother's perspective, but I'd sort of like to be the voice of the daughter.
Okay.
And talk about some things, you know, maybe together with you. I don't know how we're going to work this out, because we got a lot to talk about, and I'll bet you there are going to be a lot of people calling in.
Well, we're on a mission. We're on a mission. There's several women that work with me, and I tell you, we've been in the trenches, and we will not give up because God has placed on our heart to reach the mothers and daughters around the world. And our goal is to bring together 10 million mothers and daughters and get them the message. You know, that the reason I preach to mothers is because that child turned out the way that you intended. You know what I mean? When I say intended, because you wouldn't mind in the child. If the child is not happy, in your case, your mother did certain things according, I don't know your mother, but I'm just saying according to what you're saying, you know, the mother is responsible for the child because that baby comes here clean, a clean slate. And you have to be very careful what you say and how you treat that child. And so I go from the mother perspective, and then I also tell the daughter, you know, sometimes something happens in her life, and she'll switch, and the mother's saying, what happened? So I am excited that you're on because we are looking to bring together that voice. And it's time. God said 2014, we got to go out and preach this word. We got to bring this thing.
Because the mother, especially the mother whose ancestry comes from Africa, there, because of the history and what happened, what were the real nuts and bolts reality of what happened with slavery and mothers and their children and separation of that, that this is a key issue. These black women I'm telling you, I think it's the reason I'm alive. They were the only ones who helped me. And I think it's because they understood, because I'll just tie it up with what I started to say in the beginning. I'm telling you that even someone who is qualified to a counselor or a coach or a you know, with somebody else who's looked at their own stuff for years and years and years, I'm telling you to face that your mother has done this to you is really hard to do. It's really hard. You're going to...
Yeah.
And I think it's the fact that the truth is missing when we talk about this particular relationship. You know, that meaning that the children forgive too fast. They forgive too fast. They think they have forgiven and they haven't, you know? And so that relationship, the basis of it never really changes, and that's because we haven't looked at the truth of it. And I just want to, you know, be the voice to say that it's not an easy thing to do.
That's what we push. We push an honest conversation. And I tell them, if you're not going to have an honest conversation, we're not going to have a conversation at all. Because if you can't tell the truth, then no one's going to get healed. You can only be healed by the truth.
That's right. And, you know, it's not just words.
You've got to have an honest conversation.
Because here's what I did after she did this. I went up to my apartment. I felt trapped because of the other things that I realized she had done to kill me in many ways, to silence me, to continue to make me be invisible, in addition to then putting her foot down on the accelerator and backing her car into me on purpose. I had nothing. I felt trapped. And I looked at my phone, which had a video camera in it, and I thought, what I knew about nonverbal therapies, which are like music therapy, art therapies, drama therapy, these are the best when it comes to trauma and rage. And if you've been abused by your mother, you've got rage in there, and it's coming out some way. Anyway, so I looked at my phone, I said, I need a witness, because that's the difference between banging out your rage and your feelings or drawing it or making it up in a song. If you don't have a witness, it's not real therapy. But who in that position has the money to pay a private music therapist? You don't have it, but you need a witness. So I made a video. I started making videos. And I put the rage in the videos, because the secret thing about the Internet is, that's different about TV, is I knew no one could sue me. Even though I was making videos, I'm telling you, where I talked to my mother with rage on the video, because I knew she'd be sneaking over there and watching. And I called her names like you can't believe, but I knew that nobody could sue me, including her, because nobody's forcing anybody to come over and watch YouTube videos. You do it of your own free will. See? So if she, her feelings got hurt, which I, anyway, I made these videos, and I have this.
Well, you and I are going to have to finish this conversation. Email me at DrBessie1, okay? Send me your email now, and we can finish this gun, because we're getting to the last of it. And I know we had Cynthia Oliver on, my co-host, and I'm sure Cynthia is so gracious that she would say to me, "That doesn't matter, Dr. Fletcher, keep it moving." But Cynthia, I truly appreciate you waiting. I'm going to get Cynthia on with us. Hold one second. We have a few more seconds. Cynthia?
I'm sending you an email right now.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Fletcher.
Good morning. I know you're hearing. This is Cynthia Oliver, my co-host. Sorry we ran into your time a little bit, too.
That's quite all right, Dr. Fletcher, because that was worth hearing. I ran into the same conversation this week with a young lady at work and in school, and she was stating that, what we failed to realize as daughters, from a daughter's perspective, because all I have is my daughter's perspective. Well, I have my mom's too now, but all we have is a daughter perspective. And what she said was, me deciding to move away, blah, 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 I'm already a better person than my mother. But you see, that's where she's wrong. Because she's doing the very thing to her mother that her mother did to her, neglecting to love her.
Mm-hmm.
See, the key is not to become a better mother. We're supposed to become better people.
Yeah.
And when you do the same thing to the person that did to you as far as withhold your love, you're no better than them. That's what we need to realize. You can't be a better mother or a better person holding on to that unforgiveness. You just can't do it.
Yeah. This is an interesting conversation. Our time is up. Please email me. I don't want you to give it to me on the air. Please email me, and I'm going to call you back in the next 10 or 15 minutes, okay?
Yes, I'm doing it right now.
And Cynthia, thank you for your patience. Audience, thank you for listening. It's been a good show, and we're going to see what happened out of this. I got a feeling that we are getting ready to explode. This conversation is getting ready to take off. You have a blessed week, and remember, God loves you. We love you here at the Round Table, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll be right back.